Hello and welcome to this episode of Macro Sutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print, and this time we're going to be talking about some really good news for the Indian economy, and that's to do with our export numbers. The February numbers are looking quite good, and to analyze what has exactly been the basis of this turnaround, what has done well, what has done less well, what has done badly, we have with us, as always, Radhika Pandey, Associate Professor at NIPFP. Thank you so much, Radhika, for joining us.
Thank you, Sharad.
So now, Radhika, we'll start first with merchandise exports.
Yes.
What is the latest data, the February data, saying about merchandise exports?
So merchandise trade has been in contraction zone throughout most of the months of the current financial year. Only in the last 3 months, we saw that the merchandise exports grew at a positive rate.
Mm-hmm.
That is December, January and February.
Okay.
And in February, the exports, the goods exports logged a growth of 12%. So that is a very sharp increase, because before that, during the last 2 months, the growth was 2% or 3%.
And then 12.
Before that, it was in contraction zone, and quite a sharp contraction of 10%, 11%. May, June of 23 was extremely bad from the point of view of merchandise exports.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that February has seen a sharp turnaround in merchandise exports, clocking a growth of 12%.
Yeah. Right. And so we can say that the contraction that was happening, it was also due to the what's happening in the Red Sea, but also due to the economy, the economic troubles in our export destinations.
Yeah, so that is very important that, you know, despite the tensions in the Red Sea continuing, we are seeing a turnaround in our exports. And that is to do with the fact that now the economic conditions in our trading partners is improving. So, for example, we are seeing now that, you know, the global growth is looking much more optimistic as compared to 2023. Most of the rating agencies have upped their projections for 2024. Recently, S&P raised the global growth forecast from 2.3 to 2.6% for the current calendar year. Similarly, Fitch has raised, and the key reason for raising growth rate is the better growth in US, UK and India. And given that US is our major trading partner, better economic performance in these countries bode well for our exports. And the other thing is also that, you know, trade is picking up. 2023 was bad for overall trade volume.
Right.
And now we are seeing that trade is picking up, and it's expected to pick up modestly in 2024. And the last important reason is that now most of the central banks have started indicating that they will start cutting interest rates.
Right.
So that will give a boost to demand, because, you know, when we have elevated interest rates, you have tight financial conditions, that's not a very favorable picture for exports. So now we will see, most of the central banks have indicated that they will start cutting interest rates. So all these features in conjunction are a good news for our exports, and that is visible in our exports data. Though there are some interesting composition that we can talk about, very interesting composition. But overall, we see that, you know, all these conditions have given a boost to exports.
Right. Now, just to also play the devil's advocate, just so that we can eliminate any sort of criticism of the numbers itself, is this due to a base effect? Is it that February 2023 exports were very low, and so February 2024 is suddenly looking much higher? Or is it that if exports are at an 11-month high, then it's not actually a base effect, it's actually robust growth?
Yeah, so it is actually not base effect playing here, because if you look at the absolute numbers, exports in February, the merchandise exports were USD 41 billion, so 41.3 billion. And if we look at the levels before February, they were around 35, 37, 38 billion. So there is actually an increase in the level of exports, and not so much due to the fact that February 2023 was an exceptionally low number, and that gave a spur to exports. And also, if we look at, you know, month on month growth, so if you just remove that bias coming from base effect, we can look at the month-on-month growth after adjusting for any seasonal pattern. And when we do that, then also we see that exports posted a growth of more than 5%. So on a month-on-month basis, if we are getting a 5% growth, that shows a genuine growth and not driven by base effect.
And that's of course, this we're looking at only merchandise, remember. We aren't even talking about services yet. Mm-hmm. Which categories in merchandise trade are you seeing that, you know, they've suddenly done a lot better? And which are the ones that have actually contracted or done less well?
So we are seeing a very interesting pattern in the sense that, you know, the traditional items of India's export basket mm-hmm. have not done that well. And it's the high value added goods that have started to do better over the last few months. So by high value added items, we mean electronic goods, pharmaceuticals, engineering goods, and chemicals. So these are four items that have driven the surge in exports in February and also overall in the April to February period of this year. So traditionally, we think that, you know, textile, gems and jewelry, these are our major items of export. But now we are seeing that there is a shift towards these high value items, which is a good sign.
Right.
So we are diversifying our export basket. Mm-hmm. We are diversifying our trading partners as well. So we are seeing that this time around, in particularly in February, growth is driven by more than 50% growth in electronic goods exports.
Wow.
54.8% to be precise. Also, chemicals exports have risen to 33%.
Okay.
And this is coming after 10 consecutive months of contraction. So
right.
we are seeing a 33% increase in exports of organic, inorganic chemicals. Pharmaceuticals is another category that has done well, and it's done well throughout this financial year, and engineering goods. So engineering goods, electronics, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, these have done well. And in fact, now the share of these three, four items in the overall export basket is also consistently rising, and it's now going to touch almost 40%. So
okay.
that is a feature that stands out if you analyze the data for February and you analyze the data for April to February and mm-hmm. compare with the previous year. So that is one thing. And within electronic goods, it's mainly the mobile phones. Mobile phones grow.
Okay.
Mobile phones account for 60% of the overall electronic goods exports. And they have seen a sharp turnaround this year and also particularly in February. So these are some of the items that have driven exports. Of course, there are some other items like coffee, tea, cocoa powder, all these items, but their share is very small. But they have also seen an increase in growth in February.
So now if things like electronic goods, right. Engineering goods and chemicals,
right.
if they have done well, is this a story of India's manufacturing sector maturing
right.
and being able to produce enough to actually export at competitive rates?
Yes. So particularly for electronic, that is the case, and that is also the case that we are now able to tap newer markets.
Right.
For example, if you look at the current data, we see that, you know, if you just compare. So now country-wise data is available only till Jan. So we don't have the February data. February
I see the 20, destinations.
Destination
I see.
Data is till January. So if we compare January 24 with January 23, mm-hmm. we see that there are some changes. So US, UAE have been our major export destinations. They continue to be, but the one country that has emerged as the third largest market for our exports is Singapore. So there are these changes that are happening in our export markets, and there are some smaller countries also who are where we are exporting more. So there is a, though their share is very small, but mm-hmm. in terms of year on year growth, we are seeing that there has been a sharp pickup. So it's a story of manufacturing. It is somewhere to do with some of the PLI schemes working, particularly for electronic goods, for semiconductors, for hardware. So particularly for electronic goods, the PLI scheme has worked. And therefore, according to the government data, the exporters, the beneficiaries account for more than 80% of the exporters.
Okay. One of our reporters, Sampurna, she also did a story about how our petroleum exports,
right.
we are diversifying away from our usual markets of the US and Europe, and we're turning more towards Asian and African countries.
Yeah.
So that could also be playing a part. We can display the screenshot of the story, and we can provide the link in the description of this video. Please do read through it.
Yeah, but, in fact, sorry, for Singapore, it's the petroleum exports.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, so for Singapore, it is petroleum exports that have risen by 280% in February. So overall trade to exports to Singapore have risen by 130%, mm-hmm. and it's due to a 280% rise in petroleum exports. So that's completely true that, you know, petroleum exports market is getting diversified away from the traditional markets and to more Asian markets and other markets. So we are seeing that trend visible.
So now moving to services, which again is one of our strong suits, especially IT services, but overall India is known for its services. So turning to that, how have services exports done? And within that is IT exports, which has seen a slump recently. Is that showing any signs of recovery?
So again, services have done very well in February, and because in goods trade, we are typically in a deficit because exports are rising, but imports rose more than that.
Right.
And therefore, we have a trade deficit, which rose in February. So in terms of numbers, our goods trade deficit is somewhere around USD 18 billion.
Okay.
But if we look at services now, services exports are fast catching up with goods exports.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when services exports used to be somewhere around $15 to $18 billion, just like 2 years back. And now services exports in February have risen to an all-time high of $32 billion.
And this is not because goods exports are falling.
Yeah.
It, even goods exports are at a higher number and services exports are catching up.
Are catching up, right. So now there's a very small difference between goods exports, which have risen at a good pace, and also services export. So goods exports are $41 billion, services exports are $32 billion.
Okay.
The fact also is that in services, we are having a surplus, mm-hmm. and that surplus is somewhere around USD $16 billion. In goods, we are having a deficit of 18. Here, we are having a surplus. So overall trade balance has narrowed substantially to just $2 billion because of the record performance of our services. Exports. So,
right.
And that has resulted in now renewed optimism that, you know, in the current year, our current account deficit will be even below 1%. It will be around 0.8 to 0.9% of GDP because services exports have done well and they have played a crucial role in bridging the trade deficit to a substantial extent. Coming to the composition, we are again seeing a very interesting shift that it's not the IT sector that is driving, because IT sector is facing headwind, is facing competition from increasing role of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of churning happening in the IT space. What is leading to this export turnaround in services is the role of Global Capability Centers, the GCC.
Right.
And they are playing a big role, and now India is referred to as the GCC capital of the world.
That's
almost
right.
More than 50% of global capability centers are housed in India, in some of the southern states and some northern states. So there is this, and you know, it's cheaper for the companies also to have their support in the form of GCC, Global Capability Centers, mm-hmm. rather than outsourcing to an IT major like a Wipro or Infosys.
Those big companies.
Those big companies. So, better talent pool, English speaking talent pool, lower cost is resulting in companies not only in the US but in Japan and other countries also outsourcing not only their back-end operation but like core tech operations, development of apps. All that work is happening at the Global Capability Centers in India, and that's giving a big boost to the services exports and resulting in a shrinkage of the current account deficit.
So, okay, so then it's not IT services per se, but it is still linked to
IT. It is linked to IT, but it's the fact is that it's driven by these hubs, these technology hubs, which are part of those companies only. They have outsourced them to the Global Capability Center. So it's not driven by the typical IT majors, but by these small IT hubs.
Right. And I remember last year we talked about the growth of these other business services.
Yes.
So lawyers, accountants,
right.
All of that.
Yes.
Is that still growing?
It is still growing. So it's the other business services is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
And within other business services, all this accounting audit services, as well as GCCs, they are all captured under other businesses, business services.
I see.
And their share in the overall services exports has been rising. So there is a compositional shift in services exports, particularly post-COVID. And that is still continuing. And it's good because then it is insulated from the IT-related vulnerabilities.
Right.
So, and there is, and it is giving a boost to employment generation. There's a lot of hiring happening in the GCC space. So it is good news for our exports as well as for the educated, tech-savvy employment landscape.
Right. And do we know about the countries where we are exporting these services to? Has that composition changed or is it more or less the same?
It is also changing. Earlier, it used to be just America,
right.
But now it's shifting to other countries. It is shifting to a lot of EU countries, EU mm-hmm. nations, and also Japan. They are building some, you know, like we have Google Pay, they are building an equivalent of Google Pay, and all that tech related work is being housed, is being done in global capability centers in India. Also, very small European nations have set up their global capability centers in India. So it is diversification, not only at the product level, but also at the country level happening.
Okay, great. So then all of this presumably stands us in good stead for the future as well.
We
can expect this robust growth to continue.
Continue, yes.
Unless, of course, there's a shock.
Unless, of course, there's a shock. But the composition that is happening in the overall exports, as I've mentioned, two things stand out. One is that within the goods category, we are moving more towards high value added items like engineering, electronic, pharma, chemicals. These mm-hmm. are good news. You know, the fact gems and jewelry exports has gone down. It's contracted.
Right.
Not only in February, but in April to February as well. And one of the main reasons of this is the Russia-Ukraine war,
mm-hmm.
because Israel used to be our biggest, you know, market for gems and jewelry exports. And because they are suffering, there is a disruption happening. So that is the reason why our export shipments to those countries are not doing as well.
Right.
And there is a cost component also. So insurance costs have risen because of the disruption. So that is why exports of gems and jewelry is not picking up. It is in the contraction zone for this entire financial year.
As in this has been impacted by the Russia-Ukraine war, or is it more recent when this Israel-Hamas fighting
Russia
started?
Ukraine war starting, and
right.
then the Israel-Hamas war,
has
the
made
Middle
it worse.
East conflict has made it worse. So it started with the 2022, early 2022, and since then we have seen that it hasn't picked up.
Okay, and now we have a few questions from the audience. Gautam asks that, he says that despite the tensions in the Red Sea, India's exports seem to be increasing, as we've talked about. Do we have a split of whether this increase is due to the quantities increasing or just that the inflated costs and prices due to the increased cost of transportation is due to this increase, is leading to this increase?
So we don't have the breakup of cost because we don't have volume-wise data available on that periodic level. We have only the dollar value or the rupee value of mm-hmm. exports. But what we can definitely say with certainty is that it's not just the price factor playing here. It's the fact that, you know, because it's the other items that have picked up, like electronic, engineering,
right.
Goods, and where they have been impacted is due to the price. Because, like, as I mentioned, gems and jewelry exports are suffering. Because of the enhanced cost, our traditional markets, their demand has gone down and therefore our exports are suffering. So
right.
If there's an increase in price, it has actually resulted in slumping of our exports rather than giving it a boost.
And the other question he asks is about how we are estimating these numbers, how the government is going about estimating these numbers, because a lot of shipments are being delayed because they have to go around the Cape of Good Hope because of what's happening in the Red Sea. So maybe exports of some months are being logged only later. So is that a possibility?
That could be a possibility, but we cannot avoid that possibility whenever
right.
the data comes out. It could be a possibility, that is for sure. But as I mentioned, overall, over the last 2-3 months, we are seeing a positive impact, not only on the numbers, but also in terms of composition. So it's not just, and despite the crisis continuing, we are seeing a pickup, not only in goods and services exports, but yeah, this problem of having a lagged impact, all these could be possible in the data.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we need to see the March number, because even now, April to February of this year
right.
is overall lower than April to February of last year. So still lower by, say, 3%. So if March numbers are also good, then we will be able to do better year-wise
right.
as compared to the previous financial year. So all these implications will be clearer when we see the March number, whether this positive turnaround that we have seen, exceptional turnaround, is that continuing in March as well.
That would be quite a remarkable achievement because
right.
the bulk of this year
yes.
has been quite negative for us
yeah.
On the export front.
Yeah, and that's reflected in our GDP numbers also. So if because that puts
right.
down the if we have a negative export, so it poses as a drain on export. So we need to see what happens in the coming months. It may be starting of a turnaround or whether it's just one number, we need to see that.
Right. And now Sankalp asks, he says, over the past 2 years, we have repeatedly seen the unexpected happening in the context of both the US and India. I wonder if it's time to question the competency of those setting the gloomy expectations. No doubt it has been a period of a number of crises, but global supply chains have been remarkably agile and adaptive. As we've seen even from India's case, we've diversified our exports. However, the praiseworthy agility of global supply chains also raises the question of sustainability. Can India's exporters sustain the momentum? And is the government coming forward with helpful policies?
Yeah, so that is true because entire last year there were these concerns about US sinking into recession.
Mm-hmm.
Even the US's own leading economic index, which is released by their official agency, they were also projecting a mild recession towards the latter half of 2023. None of that happened, and we saw that, you know, US in the fourth quarter of calendar year posted a growth of more than 3%. Overall growth is 2.5%, which is
right.
quite good. There are now talks of about soft landing, not hard landing,
mm-hmm.
wherein the Federal Reserve will be able to control inflation without having a detrimental impact on growth. So
right.
all these conditions are playing out well, and it's a puzzle for everybody. Nobody is able to explain the precise transmission channel
mm.
through why it has happened. But yes, there has been remarkable resilience seen in the US, and now even the EU is recovering, though at a marginal pace, they are recovering. So all these are good signs for the for India's exports. And as far as policies are concerned, we have seen one success story in the form of PLI for
right.
electronic goods, but we need to delve deeper. There are a lot of good reports that are being released on the effectiveness of PLI for electronic industries. Indian Cellular Association is doing, ICEA
yes.
is doing some good work on reports on, you know, what could be done better. Because even in electronics, what we are seeing is the Apple and its contract manufacturers, which are who are able to export mobile
mm-hmm.
phones. And also state-wise, Tamil Nadu is doing well. So what is Tamil Nadu doing right? What other states could learn from Tamil Nadu? There's a skill set, particularly women's skill set in Tamil Nadu, low cost, that is helping them to, you know, do remarkable work on mobile exports. So Tamil Nadu,
right.
among states, it's Tamil Nadu, then Karnataka, UP, Maharashtra. These are the four states that are doing well. So there are lessons to be learned from this, and also how policies can be made better. Do we need to cut the tariffs on components to make the component ecosystem more...
That might be politically sensitive because a lot of them come from China.
Yes. So all these things need to be seen, but there is, at least there are discussions. And, you know, also government is working on the land acquisition problem, because recently we have seen government has taken land for development of manufacturing bases for mobile phones. So all these are some good examples of policies which could be replicated to other sectors as well.
So there you go. Our export numbers in February, not only have they been good for manufacturing and services, but looking deeper, they're also giving us some really good signs of how our exports are growing. Not only are we diversifying in terms of what we are exporting and what is seeing growing exports, it's the value-added merchandise that is seeing a growth in exports. This is engineering goods, it's electronics, it's chemicals and pharma. which these are all great things for us to see growth in. But on the other side, we also are seeing that services exports are booming. And now this, a lot of people who are looking out to see whether the IT companies, the big ones, will recover on the basis of this, they might be disappointed because it's not exactly IT services that is growing, but the growth is in, it's related to the IT sector within India. So there is good news there as well. And in both cases, in merchandise and in services, we're diversifying the countries that we're exporting to. So this again builds resilience into the system that, you know, if there's a shock in one area, we can continue exporting to other areas. So it's all in all good news. We need to see if it carries on into March and the coming months. But so far, so good. And that's all we have for you